Welcome back to Sports Day. Time now for Green to Green for Barra and O'Day, because the little things are everything. And Marco Allen joins us. He is the host of the breakfast show at the moment on 3AW, normally the Twilight Zone, but he's working at the opposite end of the day, and we've got him here at night, late at night. Marco, welcome. How are you going?
Well, look, don't tell Ross Stevenson I'm the host. I'm the co-host. I sit back and just relax and let Roscoe do his thing. It's been great fun, to tell you the truth. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it sounds like me and Mark Reddings every night. I just read out all the credits and he just sits there and talks as he normally does. But I'll let him emerge
exactly
in a moment. Let's just start. I'll kick it off. Now, Jason Day, what happened the other day?
Yeah, look, this is the biggest story in Australian golf as far as I'm concerned. Jason Day getting the 10 under par in pretty poor conditions on rounds one and two. And he was three shots in front. Now, this is an enormous turnaround. We saw him a couple months ago. I reckon it might have been at Torrey Pines. He played quite well and had a chance to win. Just trailed off at the end, which was disappointing. He gets into the lead. He's got that three-shot lead. And in round three, Jason Day shot 9 over par.
Wow.
He went from 10 under par to just 1 under par. Now, the commentators were incorrect. They said he's forgotten how to play. He hadn't forgotten how to play. That third round, when he took all the scores, it was the highest average score since the US Open a couple of years ago. Now, US Opens, you know as well as I do, those golf courses are set up to make a pro shoot 80. So let's say it was the toughest conditions we've seen on the PGA Tour for, let's say, 5 years, if you're happy with that. So for Jason Day to get back in, let's say back in town, because he did look like he was back in town, just to get off to a bad start in that third round, and then it just snowballed on him. I reckon he was pretty embarrassed once he got to about 7 over par, and the rest was easy. Now, you know, if you're an American commentator, the headline is this bloke's really stuffed it up. If you're an Australian lover of golf, Jason Day is well and truly back in business. Now, he said something that was really interesting, and a lot of pros say it. He started playing golf again, and it sounds like he's been playing golf swing. So, you know, a lot of people, when they start the game, they fall in love with the game because they're just hitting the ball. Then they start learning a little bit of technique, and instead of playing golf, they play golf swing. They're trying to get their golf swing right all the time. So I reckon Jason, the way he swung the club in rounds 1, 2, and 4 looked beautiful to me, and he's not trying to crunch it, you know, like he used to. There was a time when Jason was saying under pressure he was trying to hit the ball as hard as he possibly could. That's never worked in golf. It's ridiculous to even think that you would imagine that could work in golf, but he was doing it. He's not doing it anymore. He had one bad round. Look to him to finish this season really strongly. I think Jason Day is going to win a tournament very, very soon.
Okay, what about a guy called Jed Morgan, Australian Tour Order of Merit winner? Don't know a lot about him myself, but he looks like a player on the rise.
Yeah, he does. He smashed it in the Australian PGA at Royal Queensland this year. He won by a mile, and he did it on his ear. He looked beautiful doing it. He has this beautiful acceleration through the ball, and when I talk about acceleration of the ball, think Greg Norman. Think this guy John Rahm at the moment, who through the hitting air, it's just a whoosh. It's beautiful to watch, and it looks fearless when people do it. Sergio Garcia, when he first started, he just looked so fearless through the hitting area, and that's what this Jed Morgan was doing. Now, he hasn't finished the season right, but he still hung. He won the right tournament. I mean, he won $180,000. I think he's ended up winning with just over $200,000 or $250,000 or something. So he's won the majority of it in that tournament. What this gives him, though, it gives him a job for the next couple of years on the DP World Tour, which used to be the European Tour. I'm not going to be saying that forever. I'm going to just start calling it the DP World Tour. So it's the second biggest tour in the world, and he's off and running. But I tell you, what has happened with the Australian PGA is they've got so many great pathways for these guys all stacked up to the Order of Merit. So there are going to be three players. I don't have them on me at the moment, but the three players will be part of that European Tour, which is great. And they've also got other players who get exempt all the way through to the last stage of the US Corn Ferry Tour School, which is great as well, because that means they're going to have status no matter what happens that week. Then you've got other players going to the toughest stage in golf, which is the second stage. I hope you're following me here, boys. But if you get through the second stage, then you get to the last stage. And if you get to the last stage, you've got some kind of status. So what has happened, the Australian Tour has really started focusing on these pathways. And we're going to see many more players on Friday nights on our TVs playing right around the world on that DP World Tour.
Hey, Marco, you'd be proud of me. And you mentioned Greg Norman in your answer there. Last week, I took the opportunity to sit down and watch Shark, the documentary, about an hour 20, 30 by 30, and it was captivating. Yeah. It was mesmerising. I couldn't take my eyes off it. I haven't watched many golfing documentaries, but that was exceptional. And you're right. That is something that I think I've tried to tell Carl and others, make sure you have a look at it.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was going to tell you a story, but I wanted you to watch it, but I'll tell the story now. The fact that his wife, Laura Norman, on the Saturday night when he had the 6 or 7 shot lead, I've forgotten now, let's call it a 7 shot lead, the fact that his wife sent the jet home to pick up all his mates.
Yes.
And what Greg didn't tell you there is that the jet turned up at his Augusta rented home the next day at 9 a.m. and 12 of his best mates came through that front door all celebrating his win when he still had the fourth round to play. Can you imagine? You don't spit in the face of golf karma. You just don't do that. That and what that English shot, the old English journalist, what he said to him, now, I won't spoil it for everything, but you know, that story of the jet going home on Saturday night and bringing back 12 of his best mates on Sunday, that hasn't been told too often. And I was just, you know, it was very, very interesting listening to the Shark go through what was going through his mind and what he had to deal with those last couple of days. It's no excuse, but still.
I like him more. I actually like him more after seeing that. And he was gracious in defeat, and obviously there were issues. But, in brief, it's something you've got to watch if you love your sport.
Hey, Marco, as we let you go, the PGA Tour has reportedly denied its members permission to play in next month's Golf Invitational Series opener. $25 million up for grabs, of course. 8 events, 48 men, 19 of the top 100 committed to that event. Players that were seeking an exemption include Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood and Martin Kaymer, just to mention a few. If that is the case for the very first event in London on June 9, what does it mean for the Saudi-backed event?
It means there's going to be some big lawsuits going in the direction of the PGA Tour. That's what it means for restraint of trade. This is just the beginning. I didn't know that. This news must have happened very, very recently. But this is the start of a war in golf. I mean, this is a turf war. You know, when we're talking about the Saudi money, these tournaments aren't in Saudi Arabia. The first tournament is in, I think it's in London. The second tournament was supposedly on US soil. And, you know, the land of the free over in America, you know, one of the crutches of this whole country is that, you know, you can start a business and get it going. The fact that they are denying players going up there, just buckle yourselves in, boys, because this is going to get ugly.
Thanks very much for your time tonight, Marco.
Pleasure, lads.
Mark Allen, doing Brekkie on 3AW, part of the Twilight Zone in the evenings. Be off for a nice little sleep right now for Barron Day Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. We're off to Queensland next. We're getting around tonight. Chris Nelson is going to join us. He is the Queensland racing expert. We'll be back soon.